Hey everybody, welcome to the Biggest Bad Boys of Podcasting. It's Matt Michaels here along with Sin City Steve and Rob Bussolari. And gentlemen, it's been a week of wrestling, and I know that you gentlemen are just salivating to start talking about what was too sweet for the week. Steve, you know, past week, what was too sweet? Not the election.
So first things first, something that I've talked about on this show for quite some time and finally happened. We saw the return of powerhouse Will Hobbs on Dynamite as the tag team partner of Ricochet. Long overdue. It's good that Hobbs is back. And strangely enough, he's back and he's revolving around this this Hurt Syndicate storyline, being in there as a tag partner of Ricochet, who has also been extended those offers on numerous occasions. So we'll see. Is Powerhouse Hobbs going to be a part of the Hurt Syndicate? Yeah, my spidey senses tell me yes. Elsewhere on the show, you did have Jamie Hayter picking up a very decisive, very good, clean, solid win, which is exactly what they've gotten away from in AEW. They have treated every single person that walks through the door as this threat to whoever they're facing. And quite frankly, you don't need to have 50-50 matches with people. You really don't. You need to have decisive victories without being squashes from time to time. This seemed like that, like exactly what needed to happen. And it keeps Jamie Hayter relevant because, quite honestly, she's gotten really lost in the shuffle since she's come back. Ever since she's come back, it's been one of those things that she's, you know, she's been on the pre-shows and all this kind of stuff. So a decisive win and just building to full gear all around. They're laying the foundation for the show. It is a few weeks out, and thankfully we have a card at least 2 weeks before a show, and they're getting more and more consistent with doing this so that they can actually promote matches. What a fucking novel concept. Thank you. And this is a major too sweet for the last couple of weeks. They've been announcing matches and segments that are going to happen on the shows. They're promoting segments and matches on other shows on their main show, and they're actually making it seem like as if things matter again, as opposed to, oh, well, we're just flying by the seat of our ass, like has been the case for so long in AEW, unfortunately.
Yeah, you're right. AEW has been an ass seat for quite some time. All right, Rob, how about you?
Well, we had an entertaining collision. We had these guys and the Iron Savages blowing each other in the middle of the ring, having a 69 session. I don't know why we're going to...
Titty City, bro.
Titty City. I don't know why we need to have these squash matches like that, but if we're going to do it, at least it's entertaining. We got what everyone was complaining about. Now we're seeing the Outrunners on a run. They're starting to win. It looks like they're in contention that they're going to have an opportunity to face off against Private Party and get their shot at the tag belts. Now, because it's happening so early, are they actually going to get it?
Why? This is what makes no sense.
You wanted this. This is what you were complaining about last week. You're like,
absolutely. But the one thing that I didn't want is for them to go, hey, let's put now the faces versus the faces, because it makes no fucking sense.
Yep. Well, anyways, correct. But they've also been doing this with the heels, because we see the Undisputed Kingdom getting in the way of now the Death Riders. We're not the BCC anymore. I guess William Regal wants the rights. And the Death Riders are even fighting the Undisputed Kingdom members now. So now Roderick Strong is a face, but he's getting time. He's wrestling. He's winning straight up.
Wait, they are faces, aren't they?
The Undisputed Kingdom?
Right, because Adam came back as a face against...
But they're not directly linking with him, so they're keeping it on the fence because they want to be able to go either way with those guys. They didn't. They've aligned themselves with him, and they were and they welcomed him back. Am I wrong, Steve? But they never formally said you're there, and he's not coming out to Undisputed Kingdom music.
Yeah, yeah, they're not. They're not aligned.
They're doing it. They want their cake and to eat it too.
Yeah. Well, if they definitely eat it,
which it sets up an obvious heel turn for Roddy. And if, quite frankly, if the pay per view match doesn't end with Roddy turning heel on Adam and aligning with MJF along with the rest of the Undisputed King, they've missed one hell of an opportunity.
Right. Right. So what's happening now is now we have this opportunity where we've got, again, factions building up, but we're doing something with it. I'll get into my what the fuck later on, but Kyle Fletcher is looking vicious and mean, and he had a great match with Commander, Brainbuster from the top corner. There were a lot of amazing spots on that, but he's setting himself up for either something either really good or he's going to flop. They need to have a lane for him. They have to have something for him to chase, but the fact that he's building up himself as a good, viable heel has been impressive.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what happens when you shave your head. In the meantime, over on the other shows, which are just, you know, better.
Potato, tomato.
Right. You got some nice setup now on the fact that the 5-on-5 is going to happen. Now they're just kind of figuring out who the fifth member is going to be.
Talatanga and The Rock.
Possibly. Now, ironically enough, it was just announced tonight because it, I guess, came out today or tomorrow. That The Rock is the GQ Man of the Entertainer of the Year for 2024. So, and he has the new movie coming out on Friday, the Christmas movie, Red Wine. Yeah, where it's I think a movie about going to save Santa Claus from he got captured or something. Just seems like beautiful storytelling.
Great timing.
Oh, it's gonna be fucking amazing.
And it's got J.K. Simmons in it, so yeah.
Right. You can't go wrong with J.K. Simmons.
Kethrick Thorne.
Who, by the way, if you haven't seen the movie Saturday Night, about the first episode of Saturday Night Live, J.K. Rowling or J.K. Simmons was Milton Berle, and it was fucking fantastic to see him talking about his huge dick. So the Bloodline story obviously is going strong. Randy Orton has been put out of action by Kevin Owens with the pile driver, which seems to be kayfabe, but you know, Orton could have some kind of nagging injury, but I think they needed something for Kevin to make him look that much more ferocious. Could be setting up Kevin and Cody for Survivor Series, I'm assuming. You got to look towards Raw, what we saw tonight. A little bit more tension between Kofi and his boy there, Apollo Creed. Wasn't that it? Apollo Creed, Conscious Creed, whoever he was Creed. Then. Yeah.
Austin Creed.
The Page sex tape guy.
You know what? If that's all he's ever remembered for, God bless him. you got to fuck her pre-breast job, and I mean, that's.
Well, there you go.
You know.
There you go. Who needs to be the Intercontinental Champion when you get that?
Exactly.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
And fuck, it becomes public for everyone to see. So.
He scored in a different ring.
We saw the main event had Raquel and Liv going for the tag titles, and they weren't successful. There was a big melee and a bunch of women beating up on Nia Jax, who came out and it was kind of a lot of craziness going on there. Dakota Kai is back and was part of the three women tag match with Japanese girls, Yakuza, whatever they call. What was Asuka's team called? The
Damage Control.
That's it. The Damage Control, the Yakuza there. So
Control Elite.
Yeah. So they went against the Scissor Sisters and apparently won. So and Damian Priest took on Ludwig Kaiser. Ludwig Kaiser kind of got mouthy a little bit towards Gunther when Gunther was talking to Damian in the ring. So it looks like Gunther might be headed towards a face turn, is what it is kind of reading like. So there you go. A little of what's going on there. Okay. Where's the love? Rob, who are you loving?
I want to give a shout out to Indy Hartwell, Tegan Nox, and Baron Corbin. I mean, some of these people, if I'm not mistaken, Indy Hartwell is still in the corner of Candice LeRae up until last week. So
It was a taped.
You still have people that are mid storyline. It's unfortunate that you can't figure out what to do with these people. This has been my complaint of NXT. Not that you can't have an entertaining NXT with great numbers and great viewership, but then a lot of these people get sent up to the main roster, and they have nowhere to put them. There's a logjam, and it can happen.
Difference between there and AEW?
I'm aware, but
it's just problem. It's the problem, Rob. You know, it's the problem with wrestling today is that there are so many talented wrestlers. Yep. There's just not enough fucking television time for all these people. And thank God TNA is doing what it's doing because people are getting saved there.
I do want to give the love to them. AEW though this week is starting to put some of those guys that we saw in that parking lot with weapons to work. So you're starting to see Top Flight get matches now. Action Andretti get matches now. We still see no love unless I've missed something for the Dark Order outside of Ring of Honor. They're still not getting any main TV time, and that's a problem. But I would be remiss not to mention that these three guys who, you know, Baron Corbin was a big guy in the company. He was the manager for about a year on Raw. They, you know, it wasn't like a small wrestler. Some of these guys, they could not figure out how to put them over, even as a heel, with Happy Corbin and all those silly angles. It happens. Yeah, I'm just giving them the love.
Yeah, but don't forget it's not that they couldn't find how to get Corbin over. Corbin.
Agreed. Well, it's all of the above.
Corbin is the guy who defeated Kurt Angle to put Kurt Angle out of wrestling. That was the final match for Kurt Angle. Corbin.
Yeah.
Couldn't do anything with him. You had Happy Corbin. You let that go for X amount of time and then you change it up. You know, the fact of the matter is that the guy was not a great wrestler, the guy was not a great performer. But the guy is a stand-up, solid person who did everything they asked him to do and went 100% into everything. And that's his value, you know?
But for that reason, that's why I'm saying he deserves some love this week. Hoping he finds a promotion that's going to be able to figure out how to market him better.
Don't go to AEW, go to TNA. No.
Yeah, I was going to say he needs to go to TNA. And honestly, he is the textbook definition of a good hand. Yeah. That's exactly what Baron Corbin is. He will carve out a good career for himself, and he will be able to make a living in the pro wrestling business for years to come. But he's not going to be like a game changer. But he will, he's going to carve out a great career for himself.
He also got a real, We gotta realize one thing too, with all these cuts that always pisses me off is everyone gets all upset about, oh, this person, that person. First of all, you don't give a fuck about them anyway when they're in a company. And number two, these contracts at this point, Corbin's contract was probably something that it's get off the books. And then if he goes to somewhere like TNA, he'll go on a contract that probably is a per performance, you know, per appearance. And then eventually you'll probably see him come back unless he signs with AEW where they, you know, he has a lock-in term. He'll probably come back to WWE at some point and might even be someone who's hired on as a trainer down in NXT. Yeah,
exactly.
And, but the other one that I think his days are numbered is got to be Apollo Crews. I can't see them ultimately doing anything with Apollo Crews.
Well, he's feuding with Kofi Kingston right now, right? That was that's it,
and
right?
To my own fault, and I'm going to start to try to bring it into the rotation, NXT. I know Cedric Alexander's had matches there, but I don't know if he has any consistent story there, if they've been able to find anything for him to do.
He's been building up Cedric Alexander's been building up Javon Evans. So he's been kind of mentoring him, essentially. Javon Evans is essentially, I think, in their eyes, a diamond in the rough, someone that they're going to be looking at, you know, as a future guy. Hey, Scoop, how you doing, buddy? You know, what it comes down to is that at least Cedric is doing something. It's getting him into tag matches then and whatnot. But again, the whole thing is when you're looking at that TV time, this is the way to get him on. Otherwise, there's no point for him to be around. It's he never made it that kind of impact anyway. And I think that, you know, again, look at a guy like Ricochet. Guy like Ricochet was just, same with Mustafa Ali. They were just scratching that surface, but not going anywhere, right? Cedric Alexander is pretty much the same type of thing. Shelton Benjamin was the same way, right? You know, it's like, these guys are good, but there's nothing that is carrying them to that next level. Chad Gable is the perfect example. Chad Gable should be out of that fucking company by all realistic terms, but he has made fucking every goddamn fucking scratch and thing, anything that's been thrown his way, he's fucking pulled through.
Yeah.
And that's the difference between where Cedric Alexander is and where Chad Gable is. And I think that that's a big difference. Chad Gable belongs on Raw or SmackDown. Cedric doesn't. It's just that way. And the fact of the matter is how long can he remain in NXT? I don't even know. That could be a guy getting cut.
Now, but that's an example for me of like, is he too big for NXT? No. There's this weird thing from my point of view with WWE that you have some wrestlers who are too big for one promotion, but not good enough for the main roster.
No, he's not too good. He's just, again, there's... When you look at the character development, Cedric Alexander has nothing right now memorable about him. In fact, Ashante the Adonis is actually getting some kind of traction by, you know, flirting with the women, and he's got something going on with Petrovich right now that is interesting. And it's showing, oh, shit, he has personality and character. Cedric doesn't. And that's okay. Shelton Benjamin didn't. That's okay.
But so what you're saying is he needs to join the Hurt Syndicate.
I'm saying he will be joining the Hurt Syndicate probably in about 6 months to a year, depending on when his contract's up. You know, but that's the thing. The thing is Cedric Alexander would probably be better in TNA, right? He would be an elevated performer in that company. Now, whether or not he'd have more character or not, that's a great question. I don't know. AEW, he probably wouldn't have more character but he'd, you know, he'd get matches based on the fact that he's a good wrestler. So, so those are all the kind of questions you ask with these releases. You know, Indy Hartwell, same thing. She's great, great personality. Okay wrestler, you know, but just not a spot to probably justify what she's getting paid. Let her explore other opportunities.
And you know what? I just sort of now in that same vein, whatever became of Shotzi Blackheart?
Well, she got pregnant, didn't she? When she got married? Because Shotzi got married and then she either got pregnant or she got injured.
I thought she was injured.
Yeah. So it was one of the two, but that's why she's off TV.
Getting pregnant is getting injured.
All right, Steve. Where's your love?
So, you know, I got to say this. Just last week, I talked about how AEW needed to build on their women's division. And yeah, they really showed that this week. I made mention in the first segment of Too Sweet of, yeah, at least Jamie Hayter had a decisive win. Well, that's the only women's wrestling match that took place on Dynamite this week. And for a promotion that seemed like as if they were trying to showcase their women's division, there was a total of less than 5 minutes of wrestling bell to bell for the women's division. Contrast that with NXT, who went head to head against AEW Dynamite and significantly beat the shit out of them, by the way. NXT, they opened and closed with women's wrestling. Totaling approximately 30 minutes out of their 2 hour time slot. So yeah, it's realistically, where is the love for the AEW women's division? It's the start and stop that really fucks with everything in terms of momentum with this company. Right. And that's something that's been a recurring trend, unfortunately. But yeah, if you're going to feature, you know, women's wrestling pretty prevalently, and yes, they did do the segment with Chris Statlander getting run over. I get that. But if you're not going to announce matches and further things in ring, which you admit to being the strong suit of your promotion, what exact value does that put in your women's division? Yeah. And by no means am I saying, oh, well, you know, you have to have two women's matches every show. But I mean, realistically, if you're devoting less than 10 minutes time to that division out of the entire show, then it just shows how low priority that it is for AEW in the grand scheme of things, unfortunately. But I did also have to give the shout out to NXT for picking up the major ratings win on AEW's night head to head. And, you know, say whatever you will about being on broadcast TV over cable, whatever the situation is. Yes, CW is available in, you know, 120 million households as opposed to TBS being in 80, but they beat the dog shit out of AEW in their time slot. So I can only hope that it is some sort of a wake-up call for Tony Khan and everybody within AEW that, hey, we need to course correct and we need to do it now.
I mean, that's a very good point. It's tough because I think that first off, I think then Meltzer like just, you know, blow it off to the fact
that of course
it was the fact that they were on hello Charmaine, how you doing? So, you know, but in that sense, my worst love is to NXT because they go into the ECW arena and pulled off pretty much a perfect show. And it was, you know, having Bubba Ray team with Trick elevates Trick. It made Ethan and Ridge look fucking great. And then, of course, you have Devon come out and, you know, it's like, you know, that's exactly what the pop that was needed. To finish with a big 10 women tag match, to have Jordan Grace in that tag match, you know, it just goes to show that, again, and funny you said that, Steve, because again, you know, Raw just finished. Raw's main event was the women's tag team match. So two shows within, you know, 7 days of each other, both of those shows were women's wrestling main event. So it does say a lot about, you know, what's going on. And
I love finishing on women. I mean, with women.
that's right. That's right, Rob. Thank you.
No, I didn't say that.
No, that was you, Rob. That was totally you. There was no impersonation voice. That was all you. Which is odd because you're usually like, I love finishing on men. So,
oh, Jesus Christ.
Which makes me go, what the fuck? Rob, what's this week's what the fuck for you?
So Faction and Gobernales, three luchadors being run by Jake the Snake, English American speaking Roberts. Make that one make sense. When they did this trade with Don Callis and he gives up, you know, the Murder Hawk, Lance Archer, and then he's like, well, I got me these Mexican boys. And let me tell you, no one knows about cutting promos for luchadors better than Jake the Snake Roberts, because I know so much about luchador style wrestling. Why in the fuck is he there? I do not get that one at all. On another thing, I kind of teased it earlier. We've got guys who are heels, kind of jockeying the line, falling on the fence. They don't know if they're faces. We don't know what Roderick Strong is, but when you beat the crap out of him and he's supposed to be your heel, because he's not going over as a baby face. So all you're doing is he's like unnecessary carbs. It's like eating a bag of potato chips before you had a steak dinner. I don't understand what purpose this guy serves right now. And also his two lackeys there, you know, Matt Taven and Bennett. Taven and Bennett are stupid. They don't do anything. All right. They're a much better physical specimen than what we're seeing out of, you know, Roderick Strong, but they're sitting in the background. So I get it. The guy's got some mic skills. The other thing I have to say is it's a small one, and there's one WWE one, but I am complaining about MJF for doing these vignettes where he sends Don Callis a ring, and Don Callis receives it from across the country. About 20 minutes later, he gets the ring, the dynamite ring. MJF starts at the show. He goes, just send this ring. And then Don Callis gets it at the middle of the show even. I want to know what freaking Amazon service is allowing a diamond ring to go down the I-95 faster than anything humanly possible. And then the last one, and I think people have a problem with this one, but I know what they're trying to do. My suspension of belief won't allow me to get behind it. And we're talking about it's kayfabe with Randy Orton. I have it a very hard time accepting that Randy Orton could ever really truly be beaten up by Owens in such a manner that he got taken out within three moves. And I get what they're doing. They're setting up for a bigger show with a bigger finish
on the steps.
No, I get that. But the fact that he was able to pick Orton up so easily, I'm what? Having a hard time with it.
Wait, what? It's pro wrestling, dude.
I get that. It's but the fact that dudes, Randy Orton, man. But I get Randy Orton for 10 years fought John Cena. Randy Orton and John Cena were an equal physical match. Now you're saying that Randy Orton is on the edge of being a broken down old man, but he looks in the best shape of his life. Mind you, we had spinal fusion, but the way they're framing it doesn't work for me. And that's what I've been saying with this entire feud. Also with the fact that Owens is just, again, we don't know what to do with Owens. So we're just going to make him unpredictably angry for no reason. which works for him. He finds television time and he sells, but it's so fucking stale. I have a problem with him. Wait a minute. Rorton, he's going to fuck you over. And then in kayfabe, they go, he's going to fuck you over. And then he fucks you over. And you go, why am I watching this again? Okay. He does this over and over. And it's so predictable.
Okay. Rob,
but you're going, oh, my God, Rob, you're an idiot. No, Rob. I want to be entertained.
No, but Rob.
Yes, yes.
You're talking about watching something that's stale over and over and is the same thing. Rob, you're making a living doing that.
Here's the thing. No, but I actually I'll answer that. I'll answer that remark. If I went and I'm on Saturday Night Live and I did the same sketch day in and day out, which they don't do. They don't have this guy doing Trump day in and day out. And I go to the same audience because WWE has relatively the same clump of people watching Monday, Tuesday, and Friday. And every Friday, I show you Kevin Owens. And every Friday for a year, we're going to have 3 months as a babyface, 3 months we're not certain, 3 months as a heel. And we're going to rinse and repeat over and over again for 10 years. We're going to make him a babyface. Then he gets boring as fuck. So he's just screaming and acting like a lunatic, but it doesn't capture the audience's attention. Then he'll do it a few more months where he tries to be the underdog fighter, doesn't get any steam. And then he becomes a fuck you, I'm going to screw you over because no one was nice to me. And he's done this same routine. He did it with Kofi Kingston when he tried to be a temporary member of New Day. He did this with Sami Zayn countless times. Now he's doing it with Randy Orton, and he's doing it because why? Because of
Cody match. Rhodes
and of one match with Cody Rhodes. But I get this. But it's Cody Rhodes is not going to lose the belt to this guy. So what you're giving me is another filler match. That I'm not invested in any fucking way. I have no investment in something I could see 9 miles away. Now, if you pulled some wrestler out of the woodwork that we haven't seen in a while and fucking Rhodes does a squash of that, like they did with Shinsuke Nakamura, where Shinsuke had, you know, two matches with the guy. And then that made Shinsuke more interesting because we had to write a new story and we did the subtext. We made it look like a movie. It was interesting. This isn't interesting. We've seen this play out before. It's boring. This is why I used to get annoyed with John Cena, because John Cena was a boring wrestler.
What do you do with Kevin Owens?
Kevin Owens was good as a tag team guy. Kevin Owens was. He was good as a tag team guy. He's good as a muscle guy. He's not particularly excellent on the mic. So if you put him in a faction or you put him in a tag team, where he's part of an ensemble, where he can add to a group and not have all the light shining on him, because he's not good with all the light shining on him, because this is the problem. This is why he's in this position, because when they tried to have him as a tag team and they couldn't make it work because Sami Zayn wasn't as charismatic enough, Kevin Owens is good at being a loose cannon, but he has to find somebody to pair with that can bring out that stuff and make it a good pairing. But on his own, he is not carrying the weight. He's boring. He's angry, but we don't know why he's angry. And he's angry because the audience doesn't support him. The audience supported him right up until the bloody second that he had a fight with Cody Rhodes out in the parking lot, because Cody had one teaming with Roman Reigns that we all knew, even kayfabe-wise, was going to disappear. He's going to do one teaming with Roman Reigns. The story moves on. Cody's not going to go bother with Roman Reigns again. So Kevin Owens lost his marbles off a one match event and then never even addresses Cody Rhodes again. So if you do go back to that and you either have Cody Rhodes get in the mix, all right, fine. Now we have something for War Games. And then what do you do with Kevin Owens? Because you can't be the angry guy that doesn't win anything either. You can't be a spoiler wrestler and not have anything to show for it. He doesn't have a belt. He didn't stop anything. He didn't do anything.
Right.
He has nothing to fucking show for it. He has nothing on his waist, nothing over his shoulder. And I'm tired of watching. And other people can put asses in seats.
You want him to be Jon Moxley.
Jon Moxley's a fucking champion. Jon Moxley's a champion. Jon Moxley has a faction behind him. Jon Moxley has something to show for it.
Exactly what you're saying is,
and by the way, this Kevin could go
Owens needs this to go be John Moxley wrong. Because
Moxley could he this needs whole a faction thing go wrong.
He needs a belt. He's an angry guy,
but oh, he doesn't get
that's
anything.
That's what you want. You want him to be.
But Moxley has something to show for it, and Moxley puts other people over. This is a downward spiral of two people that are well established.
Over what the fuck are you watching?
Moxley is
puts
working
other people over. Moxley puts Moxley over.
Moxley is doing a feud right now with members of the conglomeration. They are putting out people like Orange Cassidy and having Orange Cassidy rise to a stronger opponent and have a good, solid match and building storyline now, which is what we've complained about. And Moxley, in that sense, is putting Orange Cassidy over because Orange Cassidy got sidelined because he didn't have a group around him. Now Orange Cassidy is speaking on the mic and he's not bad. He's actually not just going, he's actually cutting promos and standing in the crowd and being the voice of the people. That's good. That's a good thing. Yeah, I wanted him wonderful. To bring that like out
Mox
of him.
Mox is not putting him over.
Yes, he is. How is that not happening? You're setting up a feud where this guy is now has to meet John Moxley. And by the way, wait a minute. John Moxley, by comparison to Kevin Owens, John Moxley could do something when you put a mic in his fucking hands. Kevin Owens is a cardboard cutout. He has nothing to say. Moxley is repetitive, but he has different things to say. Moxley can speak. Kevin Owens is, okay. Well, why are you angry? Oh, is that you? Are you a face this time and you're this angry? Wow. Or are you a heel this time and you're this angry? Because you've done the same persona both fucking times. Whereas Moxley will do that and the audience has to figure out which way he's going to go. Because the BCC flipped sides and they were consistent. Christ. We had to figure out which way they're going to go the following week. And you're going, oh my God, I can't get this fucking SmackDown jizz out of my mouth.
Fucking
get the fuck out of here. The guy sucks. And he sucks not because he can't wrestle and not because if you couldn't put a mic in him and write some decent script for him. He just sucks because we've seen this before and it goes nowhere. 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 Yeah. Kevin Owens is, I need to fill 20 minutes. Let me give him a fucking 2-month storyline that goes nowhere and waste 20 minutes on this fuck every other week.
Wow. All right. Steve.
Fuck WWE and that fucking loser. Put a belt on him or get him off the goddamn camera or go have him train the underlings in NXT, which is almost like the real thing.
Wow. So I can't wait to see when Kevin Owens is in AEW, how you're sucking his cock. Okay, Steve, your turn.
I wouldn't because they'll fucking figure out what to do with him.
You'll be, oh my God, I can't believe how fucking great he is.
Or if he's shitty shit.
Yeah.
But hey, when the guy gets a fucking guy who can't speak and has to now start cutting promos, he put him over. Kevin Owens ain't done shit for nobody, but run around that same circle jerk of people.
Yep.
All right. Yeah. So I do have to debunk one minor thing. Kevin Owens just recently re-signed with WWE, so he's not going to be in AEW anytime
soon. Oh, great.
Soon,
so another 5
ever.
Shitty years of crappy promos. Yeah, crappy premises. So,
yep. But no worries. Matt Michaels, lock in because I'm about ready to, do your favorite segment when I'm talking about AEW because I'm going to talk shit. So I know you're you love this part of the week every week. But let's
talking shit about AEW.
So realistically, let's just talk about the elephant in the room. Adam Cole versus Malakai Black and the ending of that match, what it signified and the future going forward. So in case you didn't catch the match, it was a pretty solid back and forth match, 13 minutes. And you could tell that these guys had some good chemistry. But at the end of the match, Malakai Black sits down in his little pose and tells Adam Cole to lower the boom on him. And he sits there, he takes it, and it's 1, 2, 3. It definitely felt like a send-off for Malakai Black, or a bit of a farewell. And especially Adam Cole got on the mic after the match and made mention of, it almost felt like as if he was breaking character in a pseudo sense, thanking Malakai Black. Realistically, are these guys just great friends in the back, just great friends off camera. Probably Malakai Black actually took to social media and said that he's not going anywhere. If you will remember, he did just re-sign a contract not too long ago. So he is in AEW for the foreseeable future, unless he is retiring, which I don't see that coming. So this is probably going to start some sort of character development for Malakai Black.
His hair is retiring.
Shit. Yep. Happens to the best of us, man. But yeah, it nonetheless, the ending of that match had me saying, what the fuck? I already made mention of the lack of women's wrestling on Dynamite. As far as on Collision. Okay. So you've got the Death Riders versus the Conglomeration. This was a good match. I'll say that it was a good match, but realistically, did anybody ever watching this match think for one single solitary second that the Conglomeration was going to win this fucking match? No. So unfortunately, AEW, they do this way too frequently where they telegraph finishes to matches. And by the time it's all said and done, you're not emotionally invested in the match because it's so blatant just how the booking is going to go. So
it's like a porno. You're just waiting for the finish.
That's right, man. That's right. Just waiting for the money shot. And then, kind of skip through the storytelling in the beginning, get right into it. But, also on Collision, and I'm not talking a bunch of shit about Collision, but why the fuck are we putting Action Andretti in title matches? Even if it's an open challenge, why is this guy anywhere near challenging for a championship?
Because he was closest to Tony Khan at the buffet. And Tony's like, hey, you work here. Okay.
Wait a minute. I don't think Tony Khan does buffets. I think he stays locked in his room and they slide messages under the door.
More than likely.
I guess if you consider an eight ball a buffet.
He's skiing on the slopes, bro.
Yeah.
He's busy skiing on the slopes. But in all seriousness, I mean, I see what we're doing with Jack Perry, and I actually do like the build for the Daniel Garcia match. And it looks like Jack Perry has gotten better with developing a character. Holy shit. It just took, obscenely long for that to happen, but thankfully it's here. But yeah, as far as Action Andretti, the guy hasn't won a match since he got the fluke win over Jericho, and they haven't capitalized on it. And that's been over a year now. It happened at Winter is Coming 2022, I believe. So coming up on almost 2 years at this point.
Wow.
And for everything that the guy's been doing, it's just been him in low-level factions. He's been taking the pin. He's, he is the job guy for the job faction. And why this guy is in title matches, I don't get. He is skilled in the ring. He is very good in the ring, but he is not at the level where he should be challenging for championships. And that's not a slight on him. That's a slight on the writing and the way that they have not built him up. And lastly,
AR Fox.
Lastly, what the fuck with Nick Wayne and AR Fox? It was a good match, but why the fuck is Nick Wayne not featured more on television? That's what I'm going to take this to. He is developing that heel promo, that heel persona. He's getting better every single time that you give him a shot. So actually let him do more things on TV instead of just being a forgotten, member of the pedoarchy, as you love to say, Rob. And give this guy some love, But yeah, what the fuck?
And why is Kip Sabian there? Kip Sabian's a grown-ass man looking for a dad.
Well, his dad is dead too. So I don't know.
So fucking
and speaking of the what the fuck, I know I just said I was done, but if we're actually going to do this Christian Cage versus Hook storyline and match, is this going to end with Hook turning heel on dad and joining up with Christian Cage? Because if I actually might not be opposed to it if we're going to pull the trigger on it. But if we're not going to do that, then what the fuck and why are we doing this?
But wait a minute. Now I want this to carry all the way to Father's Day where he comes out in a sweater, or do it for Christmas.
Oh, shit.
Comes out in a sweater and all the kids are sitting at a campfire around him and Christian Cage is reading them, you know, the night before Christmas, but like a wrestling version.
Bro.
That, how creepy would that be?
All I'm going to say is, so December, right? If they don't, oh my God. So the 25th, Christmas Day is a Wednesday.
Oh.
If they don't have Christian Cage doing that to open the show, they are missing the fuck out. Because yes, I would be here for that shit.
You got to. You have to. It would be so creepy. Mm-hmm. And then the mom in like pajamas and shit. Oh, Jesus yep. Christ. That would be the best. Like they're all around
campfire. Them huddled around the Christmas
like
tree. Google,
yeah, like a Yule log or something. And he's reading stories. You could have like him with a big photo of like Edge knocked out in the corner, you know, like a nice little Easter egg there.
Hell
that'd
yeah.
be the best.
Yeah,
they could have Edge down like a bearskin rug.
Yeah, you got to, you know.
Jesus. All right.
Well, you have his ring gear on there like in a rug. I'd be hysterical.
What are we looking out for? Steve, what are you on the lookout for?
So I'm looking out for this Death Riders bullshit to actually materialize and give me a reason to care about it. I realistically, they're giving us piece by piece, but it's... This was borderline for me in the what the fuck, because they're giving us little breadcrumbs here and there. Oh, well, we're doing it to save this company. You've got Moxley essentially using babyface rhetoric in a heel setting, and it's not connecting with the audience at this point. So I'm hoping that they find a way to get this thing back on the rails, because the people involved, contrary to your comments earlier, Michaels, I think Moxley is a very, very gifted storyteller. You can criticize his methods in the ring. But at the end of the day, yes, he is very compelling. And for him to be involved in a storyline that is this, it's that's stuck in such a malaise. I've never seen this, and I don't get it. It's really not connecting with the audience. I'm looking out for a reason to care for this faction. And, you know, I like that they have changed the name from the BCC to the Death Riders. Make right. that distinction. It's not the Blackpool Combat Club. But yeah, we gotta do something here. I made mention of the Malakai Black situation. I really want to see what they're going to do. And on Collision, we did get a very good vignette for Julia Hart. So Julia Hart is coming back very soon. Hopefully she has learned how to perform a moonsault a slight bit better at this point and won't break her arm doing said things going forward. But yeah, I want to see more character development within AEW. They've started to do things and then they've pulled back. And I made mention of it in the very first segment. They love this start and stop mentality, and it's something that they've done since day one. But the problem is that your viewers are tuning out consistently on a consistent basis. You're losing viewers.
Right.
And there's not any kind of a rebound. And at the end of the day, yes, you can put on great matches, obviously. But if you don't make people have a reason to care about your characters, then that's something else entirely. And it's something that has been banged on, you know, people have been banging on that drum for years on this show, that character development versus matches, you know, actually being a wrestling promotion as opposed to a, you know, being a matchmaker. All of those things play in. But I think that we're seeing that, yeah, these things are starting to take root. And we're starting to see, unfortunately, the spoiled fruit of those roots.
Makes sense. Rob, what are you looking
at? Yeah, I do want to get agree with what he's saying. You know, with this whole Death Riders thing, get to the point. Now you're doing so. Even when I get annoyed that the Bloodline would just have the same fight at the end of, you know, SmackDown week in and week out, they were still leading to a point. You would have the match, yeah, and you knew where the match was going to be. There is the one match, but we don't know what the stakes are. There should be more to reveal from this, and we're not getting a reveal. So it could be something great for Orange Cassidy in a general sense, but there's no reveal. There's no pressure point on the Death Riders to give anything if they lose.
Orange Cassidy is a sacrificial lamb this time around, unfortunately.
Right. But yeah, the thing is, somebody has to come out there and save him. Somebody has to do something to get them to tip their hands. So that's the first thing. Yeah. Back to the Bloodline. We know it's going to be Talatanga. I'm 1,000,000,000% certain it's going to be him and The Rock. And those are your two missing guys. When he teased it when he goes, oh, my fifth guy is going to be Sami Zayn. I'm like, well, now you know, Talatanga. The other thing I'm interested in seeing, and we've been talking about this, and I hope they do it well. Obviously, the New Day is going to dissolve. They're still doing this thing where they keep screwing up. Their timing isn't right in the ring. They're blowing good matches. I want to see either the dissolvement of the New Day, or I'd like to see Big E come back and just show up. And he could be in the corner and be a hype man. He doesn't have to wrestle. But what he could do is come out in a suit and tie and go, hey, we need to get back on your winning ways. And I'm always going to be New Day. Maybe they bring him out, because the thing is, even though you're trying to break him up, you keep advertising that horror show or whatever afterwards with all three members of the New Day. So something tells me they could backdoor find a way for him to get TV time again and be a manager and be ring valet and stay entertaining. That would be good, and that allows you to stay face with the New Day and have them come together and maybe have another tag run. And last but not least, what they're doing with The Miz is funny as fuck. I want to see what is going to happen with The Miz coming out of this whole thing with the Wyatt Six, how The Miz is going to turn out on the other side. Because The Miz is dynamic. You can give him so many roles. Unfortunately, now he's a comic relief, but he's a good comic relief.
Right.
And I'm just interested enough where I go, damn it, I want to see what he's going to do next. How does he get away? How does he weasel himself out of this one? It's different than a Chad Gable weaseling himself. I don't care if Chad Gable gets killed by the Whites. But on the other hand, The Miz? Yeah, he's such a sniveling coward. I love it. It is so goddamn entertaining. So I want to see if they hang him out as bait for the rest of the Authors of Pain and that whole faction. Very interesting. Very interesting.
I love that you really didn't care if he got killed by the Wyatt Six.
No, fuck him. I don't give a shit about that little guy. And when I say little guy, he's 5'7" or 5'8". He's my height, which is scary. But it also makes me feel like good that I could maybe one day have muscles like that if I do enough steroids.
Yeah, ain't gonna happen, brother. All right, best in show. Okay, you both say Dynamite. Cool. I'll move on.
I was going to say NXT had the most momentum. NXT did the most of what they had.
All right, there you go. Steve, obviously.
Well, of course, AEW Dynamite, I'm going to say that. So, you know. Right. But, yeah, it realistically, I do like what NXT did with their show at the ECW Arena this week. They held true, even down to the opening video package for the show.
Sure.
So extremely well done. Everybody down in NXT is just firing on all cylinders right now.
Did you say extremely well done?
Exactly.
Isn't it nice to see Dawn Marie every once in a while come out?
Of course.
You know, she's now kind of got that mom sexy going on.
Yep, exactly.
Francine's in the audience. And
hey, You know, they were only missing Kimono Wanalea.
Oh,
hey, well, her and Dreamers,
Beulah.
Beulah. Yeah.
Beulah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Dreamer looks like he's fucking pregnant.
Oh, Jesus.
He's got to give birth already. He's been holding on to that kid for 9 years.
Oh, man. I can't wait to play this for Dreamer.
Yep.
Oh, Rob, you are so in trouble when DNA comes to town. You're fucked, dude. You are so fucked. Yeah,
I'm not seeing anything that they haven't said on Busted Open many times.
Yeah, Busted Open's his buddy.
Yeah, exactly.
You're screwed. And
you know how I outrun this? I go over to UNLV, cross the street, there's a White Castle. I grab a sack of 10, throw it at his feet, and run. He's from Yonkers. He knows.
Well, you know how Tommy can get into shape? He can contact Rep Sports and use the card. Save 10% on all his nutrition needs. That's Rep Sports and use the code Vegas.
So what you're saying is exactly. He needs the PP.
He needs the PP.
He needs PP. Absolutely. Get the re-PP and he'll be down with the OCC. You know me. All right, Sin City Steve, it's Veterans Day. What do you got to say to the veterans?
Hey, thank you. Thank you for doing it. Seriously, I say it every single week, but genuinely on days like today, thank you for doing what you do so that we can do what we love to do. We appreciate each and every single person that is serving in a military capacity, whether you're doing it on lands, foreign or domestic, whether you are currently enlisted or retired, anything of that nature, affiliation. Thank you. Genuinely. Thank you for everything.
Agreed.
Okay, Rob.
One thing I do want to say, I don't have any dates coming up. I did go and get an impromptu spot at New Woo Dispensary. So thank you to Gabe Lopez for letting me go up. And the crowd liked my Donald Trump. People were asking for selfies. So, yeah, you're gonna see more of that. I don't know if it's out of fashion or inappropriate to say, but I do want to thank DJ for...
Absolutely.
I do want to thank him. Daryl, DJ Impact, you know, he's a person that I met through my line of work and would say to me, hey, Rob, always nice talking to you. Didn't know you were a wrestling fan. I have a wrestling podcast. And I said, really? When do you have time for that with all your cruises? And... He wants to take a little bit of time to spend with his family. So we will be seeing him in the future, but not as often in the regular rotation. And I just want to say thank you to him for what he's done and allowing me to meet you guys and being a part of this. That said, we definitely need to make a new opening credit somewhere. He will be missed and we will be seeing him soon and hopefully sooner than WrestleMania.
Absolutely.
And by the way, I know what he spent now. I definitely know what the fuck he spent. He's going to be financing that fucking trip for the next 5 years because, Jesus, he told us where he's sitting. And if you bought tickets to WrestleMania and tried to get a seat by ringside, you know what he spent. It wasn't.
Yeah.
He'll be driving taxis a little bit longer.
Oh, he'll. Yeah. Well, that's, you know, it's not like he wanted to stop doing this because of the fact that he didn't want to. Do it.
He wants to get some time in with the wife and the kids
and God bless he has to pay for all these fucking tickets, man.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, because you were asking him, and then I saw that early access, and I went, okay, $2,000. All right, that spot above the ramp. All right, $2,000 spot above the ramp. Hit enter. $4,000. The fuck? No. I just want Sunday. No, what the fuck is going? Oh, hell no. And then I bought him on Friday.
So. Well, just know, DJ gets to play Top Golf with, like, The Miz or Zim.
Wait a minute. Does that mean we're going to see him in a vignette where the Wyatt Six kills him?
Could be.
Well, That's how we were going to take him off the show.
Ah, shit. I ruined
you the just campaign. Ruined yeah. that.
Thanks. Thanks for fucking ruining everything.
God damn you.
Fuck. Sorry.
God, I guess it's like DJ steps away. Now we got 4 more years of you doing fucking Trump impersonation. I mean,
damn right.
This is just.
First of all, it's not an impersonation. It is the voice of, quite honestly, the greatest president that anyone in America has ever seen. People say all the time, they go, thank you, Donald, for making wrestling great again, quite honestly. I've made wrestling great. I was one of the greatest champions back in 1987 when I beat the Ultimate Hulk Warrior in the Garden. And it was the biggest garden. It was one of the greatest gardens. And we had a tremendous deal. We were going to buy it. And then it would have been called Trump Gardens, the Garden State of New York, in which I beat the Ultimate Hulk Warrior and claimed the WWE World Wrestling All Entertainment belt and been the greatest champion of all time, which I was, you know. But they don't talk about that in the lamestream media. They don't want to talk about that. They want to talk about little Kamala Harris and why she lost so greatly, and she lost big time, okay? We've never seen a woman take a shot to the face like that since. And she got destroyed. We beat that pussy up. We beat the pussy up so good, okay? She flooded how many times she came after I beat that pussy up. It's true. Believe me.
Happy wrestling, everybody.